Lord, again, we ask for your help this morning. We thank you from the very depths of our hearts that you have brought us to this place, to this moment, to be one with another as the family, as the bride, as the body of Christ. Now we would ask that you would be pleased through your Spirit to speak to each and every one of us through your word. We may hear Christ. We may grow more in love with Christ and more in love with one another, to the glory and to the praise of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to begin reading this morning at verse 15, and we'll read through verse 17, and Lord willing, we will finish this section this morning. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Again, may God add His own blessing to the reading of His Word. This is just an amazing portion of Scripture. All portions of Scripture are amazing. But Colossians 3, verses really 1 through 17, gives such a vivid description, an explanation of what it means to be a Christian. What we are saying when we stand before a congregation in the waters of baptism, when we profess, when we tell someone, I am a Christian. I have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When we claim to be a Christian, as we've looked at these verses, we said that we have received a new position. We have now positionally received and are viewed as completely righteous, justified in the sight of a holy triune God. We have been declared not guilty. We have been clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His perfect righteousness, His perfect life that He lived without sin in word, thought, or deed. I've been clothed in His life. Our lives are hidden before God in Christ. That's our position this morning. We also have realized that that is a new position that we have received, taken out of darkness into light, out of death into life. We never began to live until by the grace of God we saw something of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we have a new position. We also saw that we have a new practice. We are now, through the working of the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, with the people of God, are being conformed into what we've been declared to be. In practice, we were justified by a declaration of the triune God. We are sanctified, being conformed into the image of Christ. When the Lord declared us righteous, when He declared us justified, nothing changed in us. That was a legal declaration. That was the judge of heaven saying, not guilty to hell-deserving sinners. That's our hope. Now, in practice, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ that now come and dwells within us, is taking the Word of Christ, taking the people of God, and is conforming us into the very image of Jesus Christ. And that process will be taking place until either the Lord returns at the consummation or until we die and we see Him face to face. It's never going to be over. We don't get to a place where we are not in practice being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Heard it illustrated, or read about it being illustrated this past week. It's kind of like we have a new set of clothes given to us. The clothes of righteousness. But when we put it on, it doesn't quite fit. And it's just way too big. It doesn't fit. God is working in us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to make that righteousness fit. But He's not changing the righteousness. He's changing us. And that will be a lifelong journey. And the day that we see Christ or He returns, it will fit. For all sin will be removed and gone. That's what the Christian life is. This is what Paul is telling the Colossians, who are dealing with false teachers who have come in, as we saw in chapter 2, teaching all these false ways, these tricks, these gimmicks, to somehow gain victory over life, to be able to get whatever you want and to be able to escape all suffering and trials and difficulties. And then we turn right around and learn, no, those are the very things that the Lord is using in our life to make us fit into the righteousness that He has declared us to be. So James will say, James 1:2, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials and difficulties. Our life, the Christian life, is a life of taking off and putting on, as we've seen through here. Verses 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Consider them as dead. We have been regenerated. We have been born again. We have received new hearts. However you want to put it, we have been taken, as I said earlier, out of darkness into light, out of death into life. That has taken place in our lives. The Spirit of God has come and performed a real work in us. And we can stand up and say, that's happened to me. Therefore, because that's happened to me, I am now to reckon, I am to consider the old man, the old person that I was, the heart that I was born with, the life that I was born into in Adam, that person is gone. Gone. It's not a perfect person that has come, though. In position, yes, I've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, viewed from the throne of heaven. But in practice right now, in this very moment, we are taking off and putting on. Right now, maybe just struggling with taking things off in our thought life. Putting on, as we have sung together this morning, as we've gone to the Word this morning, putting on more and growing in our resting and our trusting in Christ. You look at verse 8. But now, see, there's been a but now in our lives. If you're a Christian, there has been a but now in our lives. We were this, but now things are different. I can't say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I was born. Well, that's what I got from my mother. That's what I got from my father. Well, that's the family trait. But now, it was, but now. We belong to a new family. But now the Spirit of Christ is working within us. But now you also put them all aside. Take them off. Constantly conscious in our lives of things that dishonor Christ and shouldn't be in the life of a Christian. By the power of the Spirit, out of love for Christ, taking them off, laying them aside. We will always be doing that. That's the normal Christian life. Confessing our sins, recognizing our sin, and receiving daily the glorious cleansing from all sin, the glorious recognition, the glorious experience of forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future, because of the cross work of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, chosen as the bride of Christ, the body of Christ before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Him. We were chosen to be a part of the bride. We were chosen to be a part of the church. It's been wonderful how Ephesians has gone along with even what we read today. Each joint supplying what is needed. We're a part of a body to contribute to the body. We're not just, again, I use the illustration all the time. The church, any church, is not to be a bucket of marbles. A bucket of marbles. What happens when a bucket of marbles gets shaken or get tilted or get knocked over? It's revealed, really, what it was. Just a bucket of marbles. Instead of a bride. Instead of a body. Contributing and joined to one another. By the Spirit of Christ. By the Spirit revealing the gospel of who Christ is and who we are. As those chosen of God, set apart for holy use, set apart for spiritual use. Our lives are no longer ours. They belong to Christ. They were purchased by Him. Beloved. Beloved. I'm loved. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me. Do you know that this morning? Not just in word. But there's times when you're just overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with the love of Christ. He loves me. I deserve not to be loved, but He loves me anyhow. That's grace. That's what the Christian life is. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart. And again, of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Out of this new heart that we have received, this heart now that loves Christ and desires to serve Christ and obey Christ, in the context of the body again, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also should you. And verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, the gospel of the taking off and putting. Another illustration that I heard this week that kind of describes this process is realizing that whenever we became a Christian, and really it's dealt with the first four verses of chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him. And remember, when we looked at that, we talked about having a new identity. A new identity. We are hidden in Christ. We talked about having a new mentality. Our minds now are set on things above. Not just on Sunday morning for a couple hours. Our minds all the time are set on things above. Not on things of the earth. We're not controlled by the things of the earth. We're influenced by them. We're touched by them, but we're not controlled by them. And we're not seeking things above. And then a new destiny. A new destiny. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Whenever we got married, or whenever you got married, if you're married here this morning, you received a new identity, didn't we? We were single. We lived in one mentality. We lived thinking one way. And then we have a service. We make promises before God. We make vows before God. And entered into a covenant of marriage. And now we received a new identity. I am a husband. I am a wife. And this process of taking off and putting on began, didn't it? We began to take off some old habits. Squeezing the toothpaste. What you did with dirty clothes. And you began to put on recognizing and realizing that it's just not me. That's a part. That's why it's so special that when if you come to Ephesians in 5, it's the relationship between Christ and his church is illustrated in the relationship of a husband and a wife. This ongoing process of taking off and putting on Christ, we're not there yet. And we're working together with one another in the context of one another to help take things off and to put Christ on. Out of this common love that welds us together, which is the love of Christ for his people. It's the love that flows through the gospel that has grasped our hearts and realized that he loved me and gave himself up for me. So we began last week looking at verse 15. Now, this is how this works out. The last three verses here, 15, 16, and 17, is kind of like Paul bringing this to the conclusion, bringing this to how this works out in the lives of Christians. And he says, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule. We saw this, let it rule in your hearts. It's something outside of it. This peace of Christ is outside of us. It is the rule for our lives that bears witness with the Spirit that dwells within us. We define this peace. What is this peace? Well, it is a sense of wholeness. It's a sense of completeness. In Christ, we are complete in him. It's that sense of satisfaction with the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that nobody can come to me and say, there's something lacking. There's something missing. If you do this, you can have so much more. I have enough. Christ is enough. A sense of contentment, a sense of being full. Content in Christ. And this constant recognition of taking things off in my life, it's done out of a sense of love for Christ, out of a sense of wanting to put him forth and not wanting to put me forth. But it's done out of a sense of love and fullness, not doing things to get, but doing what we do because we have received. What is this peace? Do you know anything of this peace, biblical peace, this morning? Well, this peace flows from knowing that every one of our sins has been dealt with and forgiven. And knowing that to some degree in our hearts and not just in our heads, that there is this witness of the Spirit that indwells us, that our sins, you are forgiven. I am loved. He loves me and gave himself up for me. Died as my substitute upon the cross of Calvary. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God. Not a pretend peace. Peace flows from knowing to a certain degree, not 100% perfection, but knowing a peace that passes really understanding, but it's a motivating force in our lives, knowing that every single thing that happens to me is overruled by the reigning Lord Jesus Christ for good. Everything. Everything is overruled by the reigning Lord Jesus Christ, to whom, as we saw Wednesday night, to whom all power and all authority has been given to him. The very foundation for our evangelism. Therefore, go into all the world, making disciples. And then that glorious promise, I will be with you even to the end of the age, the one who has all power and all authority over all things. Do you know something of that peace this morning? Do we know something of that peace and experience through our trials? The ones that have been in the past, the ones that are present, and the ones that are coming in the future. We know something of the peace that comes from knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. These are the marks of the Christian life. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the gospel, that's the peace of Christ. It is the gospel. It is the person of Christ. It is the work of Christ. It is the reality of Christ that rules in our hearts. Brings peace. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ. Now, I've done something that you're not supposed to do, really, is to separate verses 15 and 16. They can't be separated. The peace of Christ flows from the word of Christ, is connected to the word of Christ. They're not exactly the same thing. They're two sides of the same coin. Maybe you could say, like, faith and repentance, justification and sanctification, not exactly the same thing, but they're so connected, they're so joined to where one is, the other is. Gospel peace comes from being filled with the gospel. Not just a knowledge of the gospel, but being filled as the Spirit takes this good news of who Jesus Christ is and who we are in Christ as chosen and holy and beloved. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Richly, not beggarly. Richly, abundantly, dwell, where it literally means make its home within us. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. How serious are we really about not just learning things about the Bible, but learning of the Christ revealed in the Bible and living out and living in light of this Word of Christ that dwells within us, that richly dwells within us. And then he goes on to say, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. Now, there is a debate amongst interpreters whether this with all wisdom goes with let the word of Christ richly dwell within you in all wisdom. Or does it go with the next phrase? With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I've put it with the second part. I think most commentators do that, based upon really what you find in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul, "For this reason also, since the day I heard of it," that's your faith, "we had not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So it's connected with this knowledge of His will, this knowledge of the gospel. With all wisdom and being, having the word of Christ dwell within us, having the gospel dwell within us in such a way that then in all wisdom we can teach and admonish one another. Here is again this corporate aspect, this need of the body. With all psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This responsibility, this privilege of building and edifying one another up in the body of Christ with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We'll come back to those in a second. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts. If our hearts are not filled with thankfulness, we have neither prayed nor have we sung or praised. If we just kind of come in here and go through the motions, if the objective special revelation that proceeds from Christ about Christ is not richly dwelling within us, if it's not governing every word, thought, and deed, we have to honestly ask ourselves, where am I? How does this happen? How do we experience? How do we know? How do we live out this singing, this wisdom, this teaching, this admonishing with the gospel? Well, let me just list a couple of things here real quick. How does it happen? How does it become real? How does it become real in my... I hope this morning that we're asking, is this real? Do we know something of this? Not just in head again, but in our lives. Matthew 13:9 says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Hearing the word of the gospel, hearing the word of God, not just with physical ears, but hearing it with spiritual ears. Hearing it with ears given by the Spirit of God, with an ability given by the Spirit of God, giving us a new heart with a new mind that doesn't understand things perfectly, but understands something of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Not like 1 Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Does it just simply make no sense? This gospel message of God coming in the flesh and living a perfect life and dying as a substitute for sinners, declaring them not guilty, taking upon them their sin, giving to them His righteousness, His clothing, and now conforming us to fit that clothing. Doesn't make any sense at all. Is there anything in our hearts that is drawn to that? That touches every area of our lives. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just before people. But again, in our beds, when our eyes are closed and it's just us and our conscience and the reigning Lord Jesus. Start where we are. That's my encouragement to you. Just start where you are. If you've been pretending for years, just start where you are. And let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And starting right where we are, out of love for Christ, resting and trusting in Him, the peace comes. And the peace is present. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." How flippant are we with the word of God? How serious are we that we are handling the word of God? That describes the salvation that He has brought for sinners in the person of work of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit for His glory, not ours. Psalm 119:11, "Your word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." Treasuring the word of God above all things. Philippians 2:14-16. And this is very important. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove, you will display, you will prove, demonstrate yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as light in the world." Do all things without grumbling and disputing, so that you will demonstrate yourself to have the word of this gospel message richly dwelling within you. There is a peace that flows out as light to a perverse and crooked generation, as light to the world. The verse goes on, "holding fast the word of life." Or literally, that is holding forth, setting forth the word of life. Does our lives show forth, set forth the word of life? We're going to hold out this word, this life, to our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then out into the world. "With all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another." I explained that. Wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? How many degrees you have? PhDs and all that? Biblical wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Being amazed with the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is simply the application of the Word of God to every area of life. That's wisdom. Not just knowing it, but applying it to every area of life. Singing with one another, singing to one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's just a broad way of expressing our worship and our adoration and our praise. The Psalms of the Old Covenant. The songs were the Old Covenant songbook. And those psalms are properly sung and understood today as our Lord interpreted in Luke 24 when he said he began to speak to his disciples about from the law and the prophets and Moses and the psalms, all the things concerning him. As we read the psalms, as we look at the psalms, we're looking forward to this coming Messiah, this coming Christ. We can actually sing those psalms better than David could, because we see the fulfillment. We see the reality. Christ has come. The good news is here. He reigns. He rules. Hymns. Augustine said that a hymn has three essential parts to it. It must be sung, it must be praised, and it must be to God. Hymns, we have illustrations of hymns in Scripture. Must be sung, must be praised, and it must be praise to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not praise to ourselves. And then spiritual songs. Actually, the spiritual songs, and I don't have the time, won't take the time to go to the places that it's used. Only it's used in Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16 here. It's used in Revelation 5, verses 14:3, 15:3. That speaks of the new song. A song is an ode. It's a poem. It's really something that is expressed in response to deliverance, Exodus, when Moses, in Revelation 15:3, sets forth from Exodus 15 the deliverance of Israel out of the Egypt and the bondage of Egypt. That's the song that's mentioned in Revelation 15. They sang the song of Moses, the song of deliverance. Then there's the song, the new song, the song of the Lamb. This speaks of not a physical deliverance, but the deliverance out of sin and bondage. The song that we sing in the New Testament, that we sing in the New Covenant, a song that is much greater than the song of Moses. This is deliverance from spiritual bondage, deliverance from sin, being set free. So, Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is a broad expression for hearts filled with thankfulness for the deliverance that comes through the reigning Lord Jesus Christ, the Word that is to richly dwell within us. Our response is with thankfulness. That's the key here. Do we sing with thankfulness in our hearts? Because we've been forgiven. We've been set free through the blood and the person of Jesus Christ. And then very quickly, verse 17 says, again, just look at the last part of verse 16. Spiritual songs singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the heart, not just with lips. And then, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God, even the Father. Whatever you do. Here's the fundamental principle of the Christian life. You want to bring it all down to one simple principle. All the false teachers had all these lists of things to do, all these hoops to jump to. Go back to the Mosaic covenant. Put yourself under the Mosaic law. There's a list of rules. There's a list of do's and don'ts. Paul says it's not that hard. It's not easy. It's simple, as Tom Wells would say, but not easy. It's simple. Here's the principle for the Christian life. Whatever you do in word or deed, some people want to interpret that, some groups, that that is the preaching of the word, and the deed is the giving of communion or baptism, the ordinances. They narrow it to that. No. Paul is saying, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do and whatever you say, or whatever we don't say, whatever we do in church, at home, at work, in recreation, whatever we do in any aspect of our lives that the Lord Jesus has purchased with His blood, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. When the ambassador goes into a country with a message, it's not his message. He's representing a nation. He's representing a president. He's representing a king. He's representing an emperor. He is in the name of that king. He is delivering a message in the name of the king, under the authority of the king, backed by the king. Whatever we do, we're to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not just doing our thing, our way. Doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus is doing all things out of being loved by the Lord Jesus, because we're loved by the Lord Jesus. It means in conscious obedience. Whatever we do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Conscious obedience to His commands under His law, the law of Christ. Bowing to His authority, submitting ourselves to His authority. Here is His way and here is our way. Lord, I submit to Your way. Relying on the strength that comes from Him. The strength that comes from being loved and forgiven. Seeking to glorify Him and His church, setting Him forth. Whatever we do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus to set forth the Lord Jesus. Resting, resting, resting on the work of Christ alone for our pardon of all sin. Giving thanks through Him to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. All prayer and praise to the triune God must go through Jesus Christ. You can't bypass Jesus and get to God. We saw that in Sunday school class this morning. We go through Christ. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Therefore, as those chosen of God, holy and beloved, what a duty we have, but what a privilege we have. Just remember, we are conduits. We're not the source. We're conduits. We have been beloved of God. We have been set apart, holy. We have been loved to be that through which the Lord Jesus Christ flows. The reality of this gospel message, this gospel peace flows to others within the church, admonishing, teaching one another, loving one another. How can you tell if somebody is carrying a full bucket of water? How can you tell if somebody is carrying a full bucket of water? Their feet are wet. You ever wash your car, fill the bucket too full, and carry it out? You end up with wet feet. How can we tell? How do we know if we're carrying buckets full of peace and buckets full of the Word of Christ dwelling richly within us? How can we tell if we're doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're a conduit. Our feet are wet. See, it, when it fills us, it splashes out upon those around us. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you this morning that by grace you've made us a part of the body of Christ. You've saved us in the body. You've saved us as the body, individually, having placed us right where you would have us to be, welding us together with this gospel message of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us this morning, just in all honesty, just to be who we are and not try to be something that we're not. We thank you for the freedom that we have, being forgiven and declared righteous, that we're now free to love Jesus just the way we are and to be fitted and conformed into the clothing that you have given to us. Lord, help us. Help us to encourage and to exhort and to build up and to teach and to admonish and in light of the gospel for the glory of Christ, that what splashes out of our lives would demonstrate the love of Christ. And not just selfishness. Lord, we pray this morning that again you would speak to each and every one of us, and maybe for the first time to someone that has never truly known anything of the glory, the peace, being filled, loving Christ. Would today you be pleased to perform that work to your glory, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.